Takes a minute in this courtroom. Okay.
Very good. If I could, Your Honor, I raised a number of issues in my opening brief, but I would like to address the notice issue in terms of the voluntary departure. The reason is because I believe this Court has, subsequent to my brief, published a case that I think is dispositive on this point. And, Your Honor, you didn't write it, by the way. It's Ordonez
Lucky for your client.
Right. Ordonez v. INS, 345, Fed 3rd, 777. And it's directly on point. The case holds that, in the context of this is a motion to reopen, it was denied by the BIA because while the judge did, while the motion was timely in terms of the 90-day rule, it was after the 30 days of the grant of voluntary departure. The Board of Immigration Appeals said, well, you didn't leave within 30 days. The statute says you were then ineligible for essentially the entire constellation of immigration relief. The relief we were seeking, 245, is included in that, and so they simply didn't accept the new evidence on the motion to reopen and denied. Ordonez says specifically, if the immigration judge on the record does not specifically articulate the consequences of failing to depart, then the strictures against the motion to reopen do not apply. In this particular case, it's clear the judge did not. Indeed, the government's response concedes in page 11, footnote 8, that there was no on-the-record advisal by the immigration judge. It is my position that I made that argument before I had the benefit of the Ordonez case. Now we do. The government's own concession, I believe the matter must be remanded for the motion to reopen, which claim that there's a marriage to a United States citizen and there's prima facie eligibility for adjustment of status. The only possible distinction that could be made would be that Ordonez was in the context of the motion to reopen in Ordonez, it was a request for suspension of deportation, which was under prior law. But that's a distinction that's clearly without a legal difference. The Ordonez case stands specifically and unambiguously for the proposition that there must be an on-the-record advisal by the immigration judge of the specific legal consequences of the failure to depart under the grant of voluntary departure. It didn't
Can
happen.
Can we direct the granting of voluntary departure directly as part of our mandate and judgment?
Sure. I mean, in the sense that if that was part of the judgment below, I mean, usually there's the case that there might be an application for cancellation, asylum, and so on, and if the alien is eligible for voluntary departure.
Have to go back for any further consideration by the BIA or the IJ or the service.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, in terms
of any circumstances which would change the position of the service in granting it in the first instance. Between then and now, other than time?
Unless the only conceivable thing would be the service found out there was a conviction that wasn't, before the court below, and therefore the person's not of good moral character.
If it goes back, it's better to have the agency do it, right?
If that was the case, sure. I mean, you know, sort of be self-defeating for the alien, just, you know, voluntary departure does have its virtues. But anyway, I made a rather elaborate equal protection argument and saying that there's a lot of internal inconsistencies in the crazy quilt that is IRA. IRA, I don't believe we really need to go there. I believe Ordonez is dispositive. And I'll save my time for a rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. Thomas Ragland for the respondent in this case. Your Honors, this is a straightforward case. In June of 2002, the petitioner in this case was granted permission to voluntarily depart the United States within 30 days rather than being removed from the country. Rather than voluntarily depart within that period, she remained beyond the 30 days and approximately 1 month later filed a motion to reopen to apply for adjustment of status. The Board of Immigration Appeals, under its decision in matter of Schar, which was affirmed by this court in Schar versus INS, applied the applicable provision of the Immigration and Nationality Act, Section 240, big B, small b, and denied petitioner's motion to reopen. That is what petitioner seeks to have reviewed today. I'll speak first to petitioner's counsel's argument that Ordonez v. INS is dispositive in this case. The principal distinction between this case and Ordonez was in Ordonez we were dealing with the predecessor statute to INA 240B, which was INA 242 small b, E2, that was prior to the 1996 revisions to the Immigration and Nationality Act. Under the predecessor provision of law, oral and written notice of the consequences of failing to depart were required. Under the current provision of law, which is applicable in this case, which is in removal proceedings, oral notice is not required. All that is required is notice in the order of the warnings of what the consequences of failing to depart will cause, and that is ineligibility for various forms of relief, including adjustment of status, which is what the petitioner requested in her motion to reopen.
You say that 246B is an equitable provision. By definition, it's part of statutory. What does equity jurisdiction have to do with the enforcement of a statutory provision? Now, it may be in the discretion of the service to grant it, but that doesn't mean it's equitable relief. It's Congress says that's what it wants the agency to do, right?
I'm sorry, which form of relief, Your Honor?
I'm talking about you cited 246B, which is in relation to the departure, right?
Related to departure, Section 240B is the voluntary departure provision.
Okay. And you say it's an equitable provision?
No, Your Honor.
Then I misheard you in your argument. I'm sorry.
No, the provision, Your Honor, provides that failing to depart within the period granted bars you from
That's the penalty provision.
That is
not
the penalty.
Departing within the period set.
Exactly.
You use the term equitable provision in your argument. I'm going to go back and listen to the tape, but apparently I missed its application.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I don't recall saying equitable. However, the language of the statute, Section 240, big B, small d, is clear and unambiguous in this case. And as the Court discussed in Shar v. INS, where the language is clear and unambiguous, the Court need look no further. Unless the Board's denial of petitioner's motion to reopen were in some way arbitrary, capricious, or contrary to the statute, this Court must affirm the Board's denial of the motion to reopen.
Are we empowered to remand at this time, extending to the Board the opportunity to consider resetting the voluntary departure? Or does the penalty have to be enforced based on prior non-departure?
Under the statute, there is no provision. Under the current statute, there is no provision for revisiting the issue of voluntary departure. And that is another distinction between Section 240B and the predecessor statute. Under the predecessor statute, there was a provision for exceptional circumstances allowing an opportunity for an excuse for not leaving within that period. The current statute has no exceptional circumstances provision, just as it has no oral notice provision.
Okay.
Furthermore, with respect to the petitioner's argument regarding equal protection, again, I would point the Court to their decision in Shar versus INS, where they found specifically under the predecessor voluntary departure provision, there was no constitutional violation, that there's no fundamental right to remain in the United States, that the petitioner was not subjected to some unreasonable, irrational, or improper classification by being granted a form of relief, voluntary departure, and then refusing to comply with that form of relief, and thirdly, merely the fact that some other alien in somewhat similar circumstances might be able to avail themselves of relief by remaining beyond the period does not mean that there was a constitutional violation for this particular petitioner. Unless the Court has further questions.
I think not. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honors.
Sure, the Court, very briefly. In terms of the equal protection argument,
Can I ask you to address the statutory argument? The argument is that the current statute doesn't require oral notice.
It does. Two things. Number one, it simply says that there has to be notice, and the position of the government is that the footnote at the end of every BIA decision is adequate. I must confess, I suppose I'm trying to conflate Ordonez a little bit to say that that's not sufficient. That goes to the attorney. There's real no recognition that the alien ever was really fully apprised.
But
so
that's
a bit of a due process argument.
The attorney appears as the representative of the client, and the attorney has a duty to inform the client of communications from the agency, doesn't it?
I'm aware of that, Your Honor. Yes.
And all these attorneys that are in this area practicing are familiar with it and adhere to the requirements, don't they?
We don't. I mean, obviously, there's an awful lot of Strickland motions that go on. I mean, that's one of the problems. But clearly, the notice is that there is an exceptional circumstances that's in the statute. I don't believe the counsel is right in that regard. And so the problem with comparing the two statutes, IRA has created a number of anomalous situations that I don't believe Congress could conceivably have contemplated.
Well, does that trigger our equitable powers to do something about it because you don't like or somebody doesn't like the statute?
Well, no. I don't like it on constitutional grounds. I mean, that's where I
have to abide by the statute.
You do, Your Honor, and that's why I'm trying to address the equal protection
argument
as well.
You're trying to give me an out and say the statute was – there was noncompliance with the statute, so it was totally ineffective.
No. I'm saying that because of the anomalies and inconsistencies in the statute, it creates due process problems and clear due process problems and clear equal protection problems. And that's the two classes I would like to address very briefly. If this alien had been convicted of multiple crimes, she would not have been eligible for voluntary departure. However, her motion to reopen would, under matter of Velarde, would have been granted. Since she's being penalized for being a person of good moral character. Under prior law, there was no time and numerical limitations on motions to reopen. It could be filed any time. Under IRA, it's specific. It's 90 days. So literally, the statute has created this business where if you get voluntary departure, literally you've lost 60 days of the motion to reopen. You're being penalized for being a person of good moral character. There's no question. If she had been an aggravated felon, she would have been eligible.
Under the old act, if you departed, we would lose jurisdiction of the case, right?
Precisely.
Now we get to keep jurisdiction of the case, decide the case on the merits while the alien has departed, right?
There's another anomaly. No. In the motion to reopen regulation, it says if you depart the United States, you've abandoned your motion to reopen. So there's a true anomaly there. That's in the regulations in terms of motions to reopen.
Well, is it in the statute?
The statute simply says that if you leave the country, you lose jurisdiction. But that's only jurisdiction for the claim that's before the court, which would have been an asylum or whatever. Here, the BIA denies your motion to reopen. I mean, if that's the case, then the regulations are clearly at odds with the statute. Basically, you are considered to have abandoned your motion to reopen if you depart the United States. I mean, so I think
that's under the current statute.
Yes.
I had a contrary view. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you very much. Martinez versus Ashcroft is now submitted. That's the last case on our oral argument calendar this morning. We are adjourned for the day and for the week.
And this panel will dissolve.